Start again. Welcome everyone. Welcome to the webcast. It helps if you turn your microphone on, which I've just done. I was saying we're having a few technical problems with Wynette's video and microphone, but it was me who hadn't turned mine on. But anyway, welcome. It's nice to have Wynette with me from the Netherlands. So I'm just hoping that you can hear me now. Because I think everything should be turned on. So if you can just put in the comments that you can hear, that would be good, because we had a problem a minute ago. But Wynette, do you just want to say hello so we can see how your sound is for the moment?
Yeah, hello everybody. Nice to be together again.
Good.
I don't have my mic plugged in, but can you hear me okay now?
Just about, yeah. When Wynette speaks in a few moments, she will plug a microphone in and we'll be able to hear her loud and clear. But if she plugs it in now, she can't hear me speak. So we're just going to be winging it for a few minutes. But it's really nice to have Wynette on the webcast. She's been a participant many, many times over the years, but this is the first time you've actually spoken on the webcast, isn't it, Wynette?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So usually I listen from my bed, but I try to stick up, to stay up today.
Yeah, we've kept her up for this evening, because obviously in Europe it's an hour later than it is in the UK. And I hope you guys in North America have realised that it's only 4 hours instead of 5 hours difference this week. Back to the normal 5 hours difference next week. So, Wynette, what are you doing with yourself these days?
I do all kind of nice things. I do some sheep herding and dog walking and not a lot of things actually at the moment.
Okay.
No, but that's good for this season.
Yeah, and your dog is happily asleep for the evening?
I hope she stays asleep, yeah. She's very quiet at the moment.
Yeah, good. So when you say sheep herding, is that pretending to be a shepherd or really being a shepherd?
No, I'm kind of an assistant. It's like I have this dog, and she's a work dog, and she actually is she's enjoying her pension, but she loves to be a bit of have a bit of action. And so the shepherd asked me if I could still come and work along this dog.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm trying. I'm learning a whole new language of herding. I went the other day on Tuesday. Was it yesterday? I went yesterday, and it's so fun to see her watching me waiting for a command, and I'm just so green, I'm just so new, and I'm trying to remember all the commands, and she's already doing it before I give her a command. It's really nice, it's beautiful to work together with her.
Good, great. Well, next week, Wynette and I were supposed to be in Moldova doing an ACE school, but like everything, that's been cancelled. But on Monday and Tuesday, in the late afternoon, early evening, we're actually doing, between us, we're doing four different seminars, four different sessions, very much like this, into Moldova to a group of people that a friend of ours in Norway has been connected with for many years. And he invited us to go and do an ACE school there, which obviously is not happening. So anyway, we're looking forward to doing these four sessions next week, next Monday and Tuesday. So we will be doing it in this format, but we will have an interpreter with us as well. And we're just trusting that the technology works between three different countries, three different connections, and we don't end up speaking over each other because of delays or whatever. So that's next Monday and Tuesday. Maybe one day we'll get to Moldova in person, but who knows? That's next week. And then the week after that, in a couple of weeks' time anyway, I'm doing the third part of my seminars with Trevor, who I notice is on the webcast this evening. Welcome, Trevor. So on the 16th, Monday the 16th of November, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that week, Trevor and I are doing a series of seminars. We call it Planted in Love, and it's really about growing and walking in our sonship. And Trevor and I will do a session each afternoon, and it will be followed by a Zoom question and answer time ministry session. So if you want to register for that, go to the website, the web address there, fathertoyou.com/seminars, and you're very welcome to join. And then next week sometime I'll be sending out all of the links so you know where to find the individual sessions. There's no charge for being part of the sessions, but you're very welcome to make a donation, and we don't turn that away at all. So if you're interested in that, that's the 16th to the 18th of November, and Trevor and I would love to be able to welcome you to those seminars. Gwyneth and I did a series on comfort a few weeks ago, and then back in June, July, Barry and I did a series, a kind of just introductory knowing God as Father, and they've all gone really well. We've had about 100 people sign up for each group of seminars, and maybe 40 or 50 live each session, with everybody else watching later. So if you're interested, go to the website, sign up, and you get the details next week. But looking forward to doing that with my good friend Trevor. We have a lot of fun when we do things together in person, but I'm sure we manage to have a lot of fun doing it virtually like this. It's So when we did the seminars on comfort a few weeks ago, Gwyneth spoke on All My Fountains Are in You, and it was a really good session. And I asked her if she would do that for us this evening, and she said yes. So, Gwyneth, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Have you plugged your microphone in?
Not yet. No. You're still talking.
I'm still talking. Okay, I shall stop talking and hand over to you, Gwyneth.
Okay.
And if Gwyneth's video stops halfway through, then I will put a picture or something on and we'll hear her. But over to you, Gwyneth.
Okay. So it's flipped in, so I hope it works. All my fountains are in you. What I would like to share tonight is just something which has been on my heart for the last couple of months, let's say 6 months or so, something I've been working through myself and starting to see the revelation of God being a father and living a life in a sonship so much clearer. And I would like to share that with you. Mark was already asking me about the dog and the sheep, and I think that was one of the lessons I started to learn from April on or so, when the sheep went out into the meadows again. I was asked if I could join once in a while with this dog. And, you know, looking at sheep, they are such an interesting animals. They are so dependent on care. They are so easily falling sick. Like I said yesterday, I was back in at the other side of the river here. I live alongside the river. The other side is actually a nature reserve. And during the winter, it is actually used as an overflow for the river when the water gets higher, especially when the rains are coming, but also in spring when the water in the river is going even higher, when the snow starts to melt in the Alps. And then, there's a lot of extra water coming in. And so that whole basin almost is full with water then. But now at the moment it's still dry enough for the sheep to be out. And I started to see again, because the meadows get too wet and there's already a lot of water in the fields. the sheep get trouble. They get trouble with their hooves, and they get they start to have difficulty walking. And actually, you see the time is about ready for them to go inside. So they need a lot of care, and they need to be looked after, checked their legs and everything. You know, and I've been watching them over the last summer season, and see how they are starting to be attached to people too when they know them. A few months ago, there was a little lamb being born, and I was helping out that day, and we started to see that the mother really actually asked for help. She made a lot of noise and came and asked, and then we started to see this little lamb, and actually it was big enough to be a week old, but actually it was a newly born, and it couldn't really walk that fast. It couldn't really keep up with the herd and with the flock. And so she actually came to ask for help, and I just picked up this little baby lamb and carried it, and she was sticking to my side to check whether that everything was all right with this baby lamb. And it's just so beautiful to see that you know, they are so connected to the shepherd. And I asked the shepherd about it, and he said, "Have you always worked with dogs, for example?" And he said, "No, in the beginning I didn't have a dog, and I did everything with my voice. And the sheep just knew my voice, and they just knew where to go. And I was sending them across a bridge and guiding the last ones going over the weak ones or the slow ones." And he said, "But you know, they just heard my voice. They just knew it." And he said, "But then the flock became too big, and I really needed to start working with dogs." But you know, Jesus didn't really work with dogs. You know, he actually, in his story in Luke 15, he used his voice. And he says, "The sheep, they know my voice." And that story in Luke 15 is about that lost sheep, that one who was walking away. And actually, the shepherd I'm working with, he said, you know, if there's one walking away, you don't really need to go after it, because they are herd animals. So they always come back to the flock. Don't worry about that one who walks away. It will always come back. He says, yeah, unless it's a stubborn one, or, you know, there are sometimes sheep in between, and they just don't do that. And you need to go after them. And it's very difficult to go after one sheep with the dog. The dog is confused, because the dog really likes to get the flock together. But if one walks away, the dog really doesn't really know what to do. So you need to do it yourself. Now, that whole story about Jesus is so beautiful to see his love, and he's just going after that one sheep, leaves the 99 behind and goes for the one, because of his amazing fiery love for us. He came after us, that one who was lost. And it's so beautiful to see that love is so strong that he cannot leave that one sheep. He cannot think like, okay, maybe it comes back to the flock by itself. Let me focus on the big flock. His love is just so big that he's going after it. Now, over the last year, I have been listening to this song, and it's called Reckless Love, for many, many times, because it just was doing something with my heart every time when I was listening to it. And yeah, I've gone through quite some time of sickness over the last few years, and that brought a lot of questions, and also a lot of waiting, and a lot of I needed a lot of patience, but I didn't always have. Still, I don't really always have it. But you know, and sometimes I have had days that I felt like, not really like giving up, because I didn't really know what to give up, but yeah, I not really see the future anymore, and I started to see that I have had times of this passive waiting, almost like, okay, we'll see where it goes, but I can't really see anything now, and what if it never goes better? And this song has helped me over and over again. And I would like to read it to you. The title is Reckless Love. "Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed life in your life in me. You've been so kind to me. Oh, you're overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. But still, you give yourself away. There's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down. You're coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, your love still fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. You know, when you start to see again that love God has for you, that love which is right there now in your room, that love which is just overwhelming, which is touching our hearts, which is all over us, which is in us. You know, there's so many moments of the day that I am not really aware of it, and yet it's there all the time. He is love, and He is right there. He is the one who puts His hand on our head right now. And I just have to learn that over and over and over again. And He doesn't get tired of that. It's like, you know, when we walk away again, when we are going back to our old paths, because they seem to be so much easier to walk on sometimes, He's right there again to show us again, hey, I am here. You're my son, you're my daughter. And I'm taking you back to where you belong, to that place full of love. Now, when I was in that time listening to this song, there was a morning that I felt so low in my spirit that I put on the music, this song again, and I started to listen it like about 8 times or so. And then it was time for me to go to physiotherapy. I've had a facial nerve problem, paralysis. And it's healing a lot. It's healing a lot. I'm doing a lot better. But there's still times that I can't really use the right side. It's very stiff, and my eye doesn't really work very well then. And so I still have physiotherapy for that. But at that morning, I had to go to physiotherapy, and I had a new therapist. And he walked into the room, and he saw me, and he immediately started to connect to the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know that at that time, but I knew he was a Christian, but he didn't know me. But what he said then, he said, you know, he asked me a few questions, and then he said, you know, do you know this song? And he said, this song, Reckless Love. And he said, I would like you to just lay down, and I start to work on your face, but then I would like to sing this song over you. And I lay down, and he started to help me with my face, and it was quite painful. And then in the meantime, he started to sing this song, and he sung it over and over again. I think for half an hour he's been singing. And then while he was singing, I could sense that deep, deep love from God again. It was hitting my heart. It was just all over me. And I started to cry, and the tears just were flowing. And at the end of the session, he set me up. He said, just sit on the side of the bed. And he looked at me, and he said, you didn't have a session with me today, right? You had a session with the Holy Spirit. That was the appointment. And he said, you are a daughter of God. You are His daughter. He's your father. And you know what? He has a future for you. And He will show it. And he was going on and on and on. And then he said, this was before Corona time, yeah. He said, could you stand up, please? And could I give you a hug? And while he gave me a hug, he started to pray over me. And he said, you know, I'm just praying the Father's love over you. I'm just praying His arms around you. And just open your heart and receive it. And I just was so amazed, you know. I was like, this is the Netherlands, you know, where professionally you shouldn't talk about God at all. And he just breaks through that. And he comes and he listens to the Holy Spirit, and he starts to just prophesy and sing over me. And I walked out of that room as a different person. And it was not because of what he had done on my face. Yes, that has helped over time. But at that moment, it was just knowing again that deep, deep love that the Father has for each one of us. And what he is pouring over us right now. And I was driving home that day, and it was a dark, rainy day. And I ended up in a traffic jam for over an hour. But you know what? It didn't really bother me, because I was just looking for this song on my phone, and I listened to it for another hour. And just allowing God to speak to my heart about his fiery, unending, fearless love for me. And just being able to receive that and to drink from it. It's like when that happens, when Father shows us again and again his love for us, it's like we can step back into that, the source of that love itself. It is like stepping back in that circle of the Trinity, that place where we belong, in the middle of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that home, that safe place. And knowing that again and again is so important for us, until we are completely saturated again. And actually, it makes us only more hungry for him. You know, it's the divine who is then united with the created. How beautiful is that? That the Father has just such a longing to be so connected with each one of us. All my fountains are in you. It's from Psalm 87, verse 7. It's about living as a son. It's about living in that confidence, that being accepted, that knowing that there is room for us, knowing who you are, actually, that who you are and who your Father is. It's all about identity. It's the freedom to approach him. It's the freedom to ask and you will be given. It's the freedom of sharing hearts with him. It's the freedom of daring to step into that river of life. Living in that flow. Sanctified day by day. You know, when we know that his hands is on our head, we are being protected. We become aware of our identity in him, who we really are. And when we walk into a space, we are actually becoming influencers. Whatever that space is about, whatever evil is there in that space, when we walk into a space, we are influencing, because we are carrying that source of life. He is the source of life, and he lives within us. He's made his home in us. And so becoming influencers by just walking on this earth, sometimes, and I think very often, most of the time, it's without words. But it's so beautiful when we become aware of it, when we become aware of what happens, when we enter a room, not really because of who we are in the first place, but what we carry. And becoming aware of who we are because of our Father, because of who he is. Learning that to become aware of that. And it all starts with receiving. It starts with the ability to open our hearts for it. Now, sometimes it's so easy to go back and walk back into our old ways and, you know, just behave according to the expectations of the world, the expectations of our bosses or even the religious world. It's so easy to walk back, especially when we start to be focused on what is going on around us in the world. And not being focused on that, what God is doing in the midst of everything. That he is the source of our heart. It's a learning process. It's a journey to really being able to walk in that river, to let that river flow out of us wherever we are. Now, when Jesus was in the temple one day, and it was during the Feast of Tabernacles, he actually speaks about it in John 7, verse 38. And I would like to read that scripture verse for you. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said with a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from your bellies." Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, which was about to come after Jesus had died and had gone to heaven. Now he's actually saying, talking about an overflow, rivers of living water. He actually is promising the Holy Spirit here. He actually is talking about sonship. So he says, rivers of living water will flow from your bellies. But it starts if he is asking us to come to him. On the last and greatest day of the feast, he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Anyone who is thirsty. And I actually see that coming back into another scripture verse a little bit further on. But he's talking about the overflow. He's talking about sonship. He's calling us to life. He's inviting us to step into that life. He came to give us a life to the full. And this is the life that he says. I live in the Father. My Father lives in me. And you live in me. That river of living water flows from within. Where the Trinity is seated inside of us. Where we are in the middle of the Trinity. When that is all coming together as one big unity, the source of it, and then it bursts out of us, and it touches the people around us, but it touches in the first place us, until we are completely satisfied, and then it bursts out of us, and we sometimes just don't know where it goes to, but it's the people around us who are thirsty, who are starting to drink. It's actually the whole animal world who's thirsty and starting to drink. It's whatever God has created is longing for that flow of living water, for that flow of life to burst out of us. We are called to life. We are called to that life. We have a freedom to choose for it. Freedom is actually that very beautiful thing. The freedom of choice God is never taking from us. He has given it to us, and he's never claiming it back. It's a freedom. In Deuteronomy, it's already saying like that we have a choice to choose for life, or a choice to choose death. And Jesus says, I've come to give you life so that you, your freedom of choice, with that freedom, you can choose that life. That freedom also gives us more interesting things. It's also giving us the freedom, for example, not to judge, to have the freedom to let go, the freedom to love, not to look at someone's behavior and judge it, but, you know, see what God has laid in the other person. I've had a lot of trouble with judgment, and I think here in the Netherlands it's very cool to have an opinion about everything and to judge. To have your words ready. And I started to see that in my own life also. And there was one day that I heard somebody about something about somebody, and immediately there was a judgment in my heart. And I just hated it. And I said to Father, I just want to ask you forgiveness for it, because it just sits there, and it just comes. Before I think, it's already there. I just hate it. And he said to me, would you like to be completely completely free of it, completely free of any judgment? And I said to him, oh, that would be so beautiful. And actually what I see him doing over time is to just make me aware of it every time again, so that I can see it, and so that I can take it out of my heart, ask forgiveness for it again and again, and just become aware of the freedom he has given us, the freedom not to have to judge, to leave the judgment to him, and to just love people around us. It's actually very beautiful. It's part of sonship. Now, this whole living our lives in sonship just requires one more thing, and that is weakness, living in weakness, living in dependency on him. It's opposite to the world, because we are taught to be strong, to be self-sufficient, to be bold, and we actually believe, and I've believed it for a long time, that I pleased God by being strong, by doing it myself, by, you know, standing up and making my own decisions and keeping all the rules and whatever comes with Christianity, what was coming with Christianity, to keep it all together, to not show any weakness. I was fighting weakness. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be that courageous, strong woman. You know, our flesh is comfortable with it. It's comfortable with capability, with knowledge, with strength, with having power. But actually, sonship is the opposite. It's the pathway to weakness. Becoming comfortable with that. That is a big lesson too. It's learning to embrace our weakness and then see that Father's strength is being made visible through it. That's actually freedom too. It's actually huge freedom. You know, in Matthew 11, I would like to read it to you. It says a little bit more about weakness. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, I always stop there. For some reason, I was splitting up this chapter, and I was reading up to here. And my biggest question then was, okay, is Jesus choosing the ones who will get to know the Father? You know, because it says that no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. But actually, you need to read on, because that belongs together. Because then Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And what I started to see is that to whom is the Son revealing the Father? It's to all who are weary and burdened. To all who are coming to him. He says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That are the ones to whom the Son is revealing the Father. To whom Jesus is showing who his Father is. And actually, how is he doing that? And now the answer is the next sentence. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I'm just taking your example, Trevor, since you're listening anyway. Trevor has been to Ethiopia and saw oxen plow the fields there. And he started to understand this whole chapter on yokes. Because what we all might have thought is, what if you are already weary and burdened? Why is Jesus then saying, "Now take up my yoke"? Is that not making it any worse? And then when Trevor saw these oxen plow the field in Ethiopia, he asked these guys, and he said, "Well, how is this working, you know?" And they explained to him that the one on the right side or left side, I'm not very sure, I think it was the right side, is the experienced bull. And he is actually pulling the whole weight. He is the strong one. He is the muscly one. And the one next to him is the young bull who's actually learning, who has this yoke upon him, but actually he's not carrying anything. He's just there to learn. He's just there to enjoy, to go next to the big experienced one. And so looking at this picture, the one who is experienced, the strong one, the leader, the one who's been there for years and years and years, you know, in this story in Matthew 11, that's the Father. And the one next to him, that's Jesus. The Father is pulling everything. He's pulling all the weight. And the one next to him, Jesus, he says, now, would you who are you who are weary and burdened, would you like to come and take my place? Because actually what I'm doing, I'm introducing you to the Father. I'm connecting you to my Father. I'm giving you this place in my heart, in the Father's heart, so that you are close to him. I'm actually showing you who my Father is. And I found that so beautiful. I started to see that you know, it's so much family life. It's so much caring for each other. It's just the Father and the Son looking after us and giving us this place in the family, not to carry this burden this yoke as a burden, but to just be connected to our Father, to just to be in him, just to be walking with him, to enjoy life with him. So Jesus reveals the Father to those who are coming to him in weakness, who are burdened, who are weary, to give the best place to you as a son, as a daughter. Now when we see later on Jesus on the cross, in total surrender to the Father's plan, everybody looks upon him as the weak one. You know, he has lost it. But look at the outcome. Look what happened when he rose from the death, when he overwon the death, when he stood up and came back, and look how that has influenced the world. And so that's our brother. That's the one who took us by the hand and introduced us to the Father. You know, coming as in our weakness, coming being weary and burdened, you know, it means we come with an open heart. We know that we cannot do it ourselves anymore. We might have tried. We might have tried to be strong. We might have tried to be courageous. We might have worked hard for that, but it's burdened us. It has been wearing us out. You know, this whole weakness thing is quite big. And like I said, I've been not well physically for quite some years. And it's about a year ago that I was asking Father if he could give me a new scripture verse. Just a verse to give me deeper revelation. Because I just felt like I wanted so much something fresh again. And what he said to me was really surprising me. He said to me, read 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. Now, I think most of us, we might know this scripture verse, and therefore I was not very excited about it, because it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, Paul is writing here about the thorn in his flesh. He's asking about the thorn in his flesh. And then God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, when I read this scripture verse and I thought, oh my goodness, I was asking for something new. I was asking for something fresh. And now I'm getting this scripture verse, which is just saying, "Your my grace is sufficient for you. Do I not know that already? Actually, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. And so, because he gave it to me, I started to really look into it and started to ask him questions about what does it really mean then? What does the grace really mean when he says, my grace is sufficient for you? And so I asked some friends, and some of them said, you know, that grace, yeah, grace is always a present, you know, it's always receiving something what you actually don't deserve. And I felt like blah, 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 blah. You know, it must be something deeper. It must be more than that. And then one day I was talking to another friend and I asked her the same question. And she said, you know, actually, I learned something new the other day when I was reading Hebrew 4 for 16. And she says, do you remember that scripture verse? Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And she said, actually, somebody explained to me that in the Greek, that word grace is actually translated or could be translated as nurturing comfort. And that really made me excited because I read it again. And I said, well, if that is true, then actually this whole scripture verse is on the mother heart of God. Let us then approach the throne of grace, God's throne of grace, which is the nurturing comfort with confidence so that we may receive mercy. Now, mercy in the Hebrew translation from the New Testament, it is actually that same word which is used in the Old Testament for mercy, which is translated in the English with merciful compassion. But it comes from the word racham, which is the Hebrew word for womb, which actually is even more focusing on the mother heart of God. So if I read it again, according to my friend, it would sound something like this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace, his nurturing comfort, with confidence. The throne of nurturing comfort. So that we may receive mercy, rachamim, merciful compassion. And find grace, that comfort again, to help us in our time of need. Actually, he's inviting us to run into his mother heart, to come and be comforted, to come and be nurtured, to come and to be blessed by mother. Now, I then thought, could I apply that same translation to Corinthians? Because that would make sense. Listen to what it says then. My grace, my nurturing comfort is sufficient for you. My mother heart is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, is Paul's answer to that. Then I asked Father, you know, but I am still having troubles with that word weakness, because that to me is a very negative word. And Father says, it's the word you people have given it. Because to me, it's not negative. Actually, it's the blueprint in which I've created you. And I thought, what? Blueprint? My blueprint is weakness. He created me in weakness. So, and he says, yeah, now read on. So that my power would be made perfect in your weakness. So that my power may rest on you. So if I would have made you strong, if I would have made you self-sufficient, you would never have been able to know that power which is there for you, which rests in you because I am in you. And I started to be all of a sudden so excited about this scripture verse. My grace, his mother heart, his nurturing comfort is sufficient. And I can say, yes, it is sufficient, because that sustains me through sickness, through difficult times, through times of mourning, through times of loss. It's right there. He holds me tight. His arm is around me. His nurturing comfort is right there, so that his power is being made perfect in my weakness, in my blueprint, in the way he created me. Because he created me in this weakness, his power is so present. His power is being made visible. Therefore, I can do anything through Christ, through him who strengthens me. That just showed a whole new light on weakness. It's not negative. It's something very positive. Weakness leads into living from the source of that fountain, from the source of that life. Then actually weakness becomes an adventure. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know as long as I live in that weakness, knowing his power, it becomes an adventure. Something, he will guide me into the next step. And it will be good. It will be right. It's the best. It's good. Knowing his weakness. It is His grace. It's His might. It's His strength. It's His wisdom. It's His knowledge, which causes us to walk in these supernatural places. It causes us to see further, to see clearer. You know, and it's because our hearts became desperate in those dry places in our lives, in the deserts, in the difficult times. We started to cry out to God. And because we cried out to God, we actually made our hearts ready to receive what He had for us. And He was waiting for that cry. He says, whoever is there and is thirsty, come to me and drink. Drink, and rivers of living water will flow from within. You know, and from that moment of being very thirsty to having this flow of living waters flowing out of us, there is some time in between. It's a time that we start to drink and be satisfied, and drink more and be more satisfied, until we are starting to be completely saturated and it starts to flow over. And you might even see that on days that you feel you're dry again, that people can still drink from you, that people still come to you and receive from you. And that is just an amazing thing. And it's just knowing that He lives in us, and that He is the one giving it to us and letting it flow out of us. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. You know, you might be sitting here and you might feel that your life is dry at the moment, and that it's you needing this. It's there. He says, come to me and drink and drink and drink and be satisfied. I am that source of life. And then He says, the rivers of living water will flow from out of you. That's the promise. Just come. Just drink. Just drink until you're satisfied. Deep fountains are rushing up the inside of you. The rivers are right there. And He will make them to burst out again. But then looking around us in the world, there are so many dry places. There's so much dryness. There's so much barrenness. And even these places, you know, the promise is that His love will cover the whole earth. And that's what I'm excited of. You know, seeing how He is revealing Himself to people, that the sons and daughters are starting to stand up, that we start to see that how He starts to fill our hearts with His love. And in the beginning, it just seems to go so slow. But He is doing His work. He's preparing our hearts. And actually, He is making us ready to be part of that, to let His love flow across all of the earth, that His love will cover the whole earth. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Now, I'm really getting excited about it. And at the moment, I'm a bit stranded, you know, first of all, because of COVID and everything what is cancelled. But at the other hand, also because of health reasons, still I'm not completely healthy yet, though I know that that healing is coming. I'm starting to feel a lot better than, for example, last year this time. But the most important thing is He knows. He's preparing the world for the next step, and I'm so excited to be part of that. And I think when you are sitting here and you know that you know Him as a father, you know that you are a son, a daughter, then you are part of that answer. Then you are part of that love, which is going to cover the whole earth, because He's using us as channels. He's using us as fountains to walk in the midst of barrenness. Every fountain of delight springs up from your life within me. That source is right within us. That fountain springs up from our innermost being. That's the blessing, that's the beauty. And in the midst of it, we don't need to do anything for it than just being connected to Him, than just staying in Him, remaining in Him. my grace is sufficient. Wherever you are at the moment, whatever you are doing, His grace is sufficient for you. His nurturing comfort is sufficient. His mother heart is sufficient. If you go through hardship or pain or trouble or sickness or mourning a lost one, we so need that nurturing comfort. We so need that grace. And He says, now, just approach that throne of grace. You're invited to approach that throne of grace with confidence. You're approaching my mother heart, the God's throne of grace. Run into it. We need it. You need it. And He's inviting you right there. We will receive mercy, merciful compassion, and grace, and comfort to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for these deep fountains you've placed within us, your fountains. Thank you that the source of them, that's you yourself, that you've chosen us to live inside of us. That the source of that love is right there within us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've revealed yourself to us, that you picked us. Not because we did anything special, but because we had nothing to give anymore. We became weary and burdened. And then you said, to those I'm revealing the Father. I'm taking you to live close to my Father. I thank you so much, Father, that you've opened that door through your Son. He's showing us what it is to live in weakness, which is actually a strength. Father, in your world, everything seems to be so upside down. And yet, it is so much more beautiful. Father, help us to understand what it means that your grace is sufficient to us. That your power is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to be weak, Father. Help us to see it not as a negative thing, to see it as a strength. To know that that is the blueprint in which you've made us. So that we could connect to your power. Your power could live within us. Help us to live from that source of every fountain. Thank you, Father, that you say deep fountains are rushing inside of us. Thank you that you will open wide spaces to live in, where rivers flow, the fountains are in the midst of the valleys. Thank you that you will make that wilderness into a pool of water, and that dry land will spring up with fountains of water. Make our hearts more and more like fountains, Father. The fountains of life, in the first place for ourselves, for our family, for the people around us. That, Father, in this time where everything seems to be so negative sometimes, and I just listen to the news and there's another lot of bad news, Father, help us to just let your water, your fountain spring forth out of us. Use us, Father. Use us for your glory. Father, we're so much looking forward that your love will cover the whole earth. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your hand upon our heads right now. And we love you. Amen.
Thank you, Annette. That was excellent, brilliant. Thank you. And the internet got better as you went on.
Okay.
So that's good. Well, a lot of encouraging comments there for you, Annette, to have a look at. But what really just struck me is that the life comes from a nurtured heart. a heart that's wrapped and contained in the Father's love. So, what a feast we've had. Thank you, Annette. We will be back next Wednesday, same time, same place, apart from North America, when it will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but the rest of us will be back at the same time, same place. And Barry and I will be doing something, not quite sure what yet. Barry's away this week. He's doing a school of ministry in his home church yesterday, today and today, which is why he's not with us. So we'll let him off. But it's been really, really good having Wynette with us. So thank you, Wynette. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday. And if you remember, Wynette and I on Monday and Tuesday, we're doing some sessions in Moldova. And we're trusting for good internet and a good flow between us and interpreter in this sort of format. So bless you. Thank you. And see you next week. Thanks, Wynette.
Okay.